For 75 years, from the mid-19th century to the late 1920s, more than 250,000 children were placed on what were referred to by many as orphan trains, taken west to be adopted by families in small towns. The children were either orphaned or surrendered, given up by their parents or guardians. For years after the orphan trains ceased rolling, they were largely forgotten. But in the past 30 years, there have been documentaries produced and orphan train societies formed to preserve the stories. Mary Ellen Johnson, the founder of the Orphan Train Heritage Society, began her project as a local history endeavor in Springdale. For the past 15 years, Allison Moore and Phil Lancaster have toured with a multimedia program devoted to the orphan trains and their riders, with original words and music. Now, Allison Moore has completed her novel, Riders on the Orphan Train, about two adolescents on an orphan train that leaves New York City and heads west. Allison and Phil will be at the Springdale Public Library tomorrow afternoon at 2 to present their program, and then will be at the Bella Vista Library Sunday afternoon at 3, and at the Paris Public Library on December 11th at 7 p.m. This week, Allison Moore came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about her novel, Riders on the Orphan Train. I asked her about her two main characters, the children propelling the story through most of a century. When we first meet Ezra, his father, and as was the rage at the time, Egyptology, it had taken hold of the American consciousness, a fascination with it. His father is far engrossed in his work, and Ezra's living at this hotel. And at once, his situation seems desperate. But the other, you think he's getting such this education because he's among artists and others and learning to become an adult far before his time.
Right. When I found out about the Chelsea Hotel, certainly the Chelsea Hotel was at its heyday when I lived in New York, and you know, Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan and various people lived there. Before that, Dylan Thomas lived there. O. Henry lived there. So I knew I just had to get one of my characters in that hotel. And I wanted Ezra to have a full childhood. Even though it was a lonely childhood, he has, as you said, these other characters around him who lead these eccentric lives. And by contrast, I wanted Elizabeth to be a very isolated and lonely child, and that gradually they change places in the book, that it's Elizabeth who finds her milieu. I hope I said that right, Phil. My French. And Ezra becomes increasingly more isolated as he ages.
Another theme that comes through this book is connections you make with someone that don't last long, the physical connections, but the memory of them, the emotional connections, can last, well, a lifetime.
Exactly. And I wanted to play on the idea of twins separated at birth, almost. They lead oddly similar lives. So I wanted them, in a sense, to be on each other's wavelength throughout their lives, though they had no contact. But I think that the orphan trains, for me, and what I was interested in writing about here, and what I'm often interested about, is displacement, loss, and the search for home. I think it's a uniquely American dilemma. So many people came from elsewhere and left extended family behind. And the orphan trains, I think the people that started them and the way people want to look at this is that it embodied the essence of what became the American dream, that you could come from nothing and become somebody. But at the same time, you'd have to look at the whole experience, that the end hopefully justified the means, because the journey itself is what was so difficult for these children, not knowing where they were going.
Not knowing where they were stopping. You could be in North Platte, Nebraska, or Atchison, Kansas, or wherever.
Exactly.
The train stops, children got off, and they might be taken.
Or not.
Or not.
Siblings might be separated out of the line. One would be chosen because they looked stronger or healthier or whatever, and the other one sent down the line. Now, there are two organizations that moved the children out of New York, and the one I focused on was the Children's Aid Society. That was basically a free-for-all. They would post handbills in the towns ahead of time, so they knew based on the train line where they were going. There was not an orphan train. These were just passenger trains. The other system was the New York Foundling system that had the Mercy trains or the baby trains, and these were children of unwed mothers that were indentured in the way that mail order brides, I guess you could say, were, that a parish priest in Omaha could request a certain number of children from the nuns, saying, people in my parish will speak up for these children, we'll give them a home. They were matched up by a number system sewn to their coats.
I don't want to give away the ending. The book is Riders on the Orphan Train, but you're so restrained in how you deal with Ezra and Elizabeth as their lives progress. Without saying too much more, was that difficult to do?
It was a real lesson for me as a writer in trying to, it was walking a tightrope for me. I felt that. And I worked on that chapter more than any other. And certainly, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to have the big crescendo, happy ending. But I also, because of the whole subject matter, I thought, well, that's not the way this book can end. But it's going to end somewhere else that is in the category of none of the above, but that is going to be true in a way to the idea of history and memory.
There are two incidents in the book that take place in Arkansas. One is when Elizabeth is selected, and it's in Rogers. Mm-hmm. And it's a very dramatic scene. It's cinematic. Mm-hmm. And the other is a reunion that begins in Fayetteville in 1985. Doesn't matter because, as you say, it's fiction. But I wonder, are either of these – I think one is grounded in truth. The one in Rogers, was that
Rogers received children from the trains, and
right.
The reason I chose Rogers, I think, was because Mary Ellen Johnson, who founded the Orphan Train Heritage Society in Springdale, was working in Rogers either at a museum or a library and came across an article about some children who went, I believe, to Fort Smith in 1912, and she was shocked and sent out letters to editors of 200 newspapers across the country saying, anybody knowing anything about children coming out on trains from New York, please write back. She got flooded with mail. That's how that all started. I wanted to honor her in this book by having the Rogers location for Elizabeth's disembarking and also for the Orphan Train reunion, because that was the first one I went to was in Northwest Arkansas.
Early in the book, when so many people are coming through Ellis Island, that Elizabeth, she comes on the ship and it's Irish and Polish and Ukrainian. And just the scene as you describe it, as they're going through the different stages, and can they make it? Will they be turned back? And chalk of one letter or another turns you back, and the hopes that are dashed instantly for so many of these people. Mm. It's a marvelous scene.
Oh, thank you.
It's just really well written.
I went to Ellis Island. Actually, I went there with a group of Orphan Train writers during the 2000 reunion. Phil and I went up there, and I was the designated, not the driver, but we had to get them down to South Ferry. They all wanted to go to Ellis Island. And the hotel couldn't find a van to take them. So I took them on the New York City subway since I knew the system. And that was really something. One person had an oxygen tank. And, you know, we got down to South Ferry. We're in the wrong cars. And we got to get off in the last car because not all the doors open in the station in South Ferry. Anyway, we finally made it there. And I think they were very moved to be there, as I was, even though I don't know of any relatives who came there. But the overwhelming size, the scale of it, to me, must have felt like a metaphor for the American experience, that it's huge and overwhelming and impersonal, and you have to measure up in some way. And so the experience for her there is echoed several times throughout the book, and certainly in the selection process for the Orphan Trains, is worry that you're going to be marked somehow. And certainly later on for the Mexican people that they meet in being deported.
Allison Moore is the author of the new novel, Riders on the Orphan Train. Allison and Phil Lancaster will present their multimedia program about the orphan train and their riders at the Springdale Public Library tomorrow at 2, the Bella Vista Public Library Sunday afternoon at 3, and at the Paris Public Library December 11th at 7 p.m. Allison Moore visited the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio earlier this week.